Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-. So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hello and welcome to the All by the Popcorn podcast. I'm Alessandra.
And I'm Emily.
And today we are finally talking about Dune 2.
And we're in the same room.
Yes, we both saw the movie together this week. It was very fun, even though I had seen it the opening weekend as well. But I was very excited to see it again because it's a very good movie.
We watched it with my roommate and it was a lot of fun. We are very excited to talk about it today. I rewatched the first part with my mom.
Yeah.
Over the weekend while I was hanging out with her. Because she wants to watch Dune 2 as well. And so I got prepared. And then we watched it again.
I can't believe you watched it twice in 1 week.
So I watched it over the weekend with my mom. And then we went on our friend's like little 3-day getaway up in the mountains. And then we watched it again because my roommate didn't watch Dune Part 1 to recap for Dune 2. So we watched it while we were up there. And then we watched Dune 2 together.
So what, I mean, this is obviously following one of our best podcasts of all time, the first Dune podcast.
No bias or anything.
It was literally, I mean, I've re-listened to it several times. It's hilarious. We really just really have a lot to say about the whole structure of Dune and everything. And so I think this is going to be a less intense discussion because it has been some years since we watched all of those adaptations. So it is kind of like, comparing them is a little harder now, but
yeah, which honestly I'm sad about. I wish there were more remakes that we could watch and discuss because
yeah,
that was both the most frustrating but also amazing experience just watching all these different adaptations. And I highly enjoy. I hated it, but I also loved it. It was really weird.
Yeah. And we were comparing the movie to the book a lot because there was a lot of plot points that were slightly different in Denis Villeneuve's version and honestly much improved from the original source material, which is the book. And honestly, it's just so much more entertaining as two parts, the way that he has done it, that you can't really like get too nitpicky, but it's like, still, I'm really happy that they left it kind of open-ended, which is different than the original book. It was a quite, you know...
Yeah, how does the book end?
Basically, it's just Paul is now the emperor, and it's good. Everything's good. Like, that's kind of what's up.
And it starts raining on Arrakis?
No, it does not. It does not. And, you know, from what I remember, there really wasn't anything involved with, like, making Dune, like a landscape of like lush paradise again. That wasn't really like something that I remember being from the book, but it's possible that that was in there.
It's possible it was mentioned because it was mentioned in Denny's movie, mm-hmm. and it was mentioned in the miniseries that we watched. So it was,
and the 1984 ends with the rain inexplicably coming just because Paul succeeds. Do you remember that?
Yes. Yes.
So that was like so weird.
That was ridiculous. It's so fucking ridiculous.
So it must be in the book because we just didn't, you know, that's just like something that does make sense. But then the thing is, like, they didn't really go into the fact that, like, the spice is the way that people travel in the universe. So that's why threatening it is an extreme, like, disaster for everyone because that's how they travel.
Yes, I don't remember this being brought up in the book at all, and it wasn't until like the 80s movie that I was like, oh, is that what the spice does? Like, I thought it was just
the spice navigator,
a drug that people like to take, because, you know, it's the future, and people like to take drugs.
Yeah, that's what I thought, too, but it's actually more than that. It's everything. So, it's like, it's how they travel intergalactically or whatever, so...
It's also like reaching a heightened state of knowledge for certain people.
Mm-hmm.
Like so, Paul. Yeah. So like Paul. So very important. But other than that, I felt like it was very, very close to what I remember reading in the book. Since it's been so many years now.
Yeah.
So
the main difference to me is the time jump situation, because there's two parts to the first book.
Yeah.
And they basically...
There wasn't much of a time jump in this one.
No, there was like barely any. It was like 8 months or something. Because
his sister wasn't even born.
No, it's clearly within the time of pregnancy for Jessica, but
yeah,
it does seem like it's like 6 months, 7 months, maybe.
Yeah.
That of time that has gone past. But in the original book, it's like 4 years, because Aaliyah is born 4 or 5 years, right? She's born, she's this breathing, talking little girl with all the Bene Gesserit inside of her. And she's in the 1984.
Plus a demon.
Well, yeah, she's wild. I mean, honestly, the fact that they did it as like a fetus talking to Jessica was a really good idea. Having a little girl doing all this kind of weird talking would have just thrown this into a zone that it's so wacky and so weird that I'm so glad that Denis chose to just do it like this instead.
Because it's so easy to take these ideas, these themes, these like plot points, and just make them silly,
yeah,
and just like oafish, like in a way where like Denis has really taken them and kind of made them more like you can take these movies seriously. Like mm-hmm. like Dune seems like such a really cool like sci-fi story that if I was just going in watching Dune,
yeah,
I'd be like, oh cool, if the books are like this, I would love to continue reading.
Yeah.
And watching Dune Part 2 kind of made me want to read the other ones, but I was like, no, the first one was so bad. I'm not gonna continue. I'm not gonna do this to myself.
Well,
this is not happening.
That's the thing. I saw this movie, and the way it ends is that there's a holy war that's gonna start, right?
Yeah.
And
yeah,
that's not the way it is in the books, but I'm guessing that's kind of similar to what happens in the... I'm not really sure. To be honest... I've only heard snippets from Dune Messiah and Children of Dune, and everything I've heard is not good.
Yeah.
So I'm going to read them because I want to know what happens, but I'm going to guess that Denis is going to go in a direction that is totally, like, enlightened and better written than what ends up happening in the books.
I would love that. As long as they keep Paul's half-sandworm child, I'd like them to keep that, please. I'd like to see a half sandworm child.
Okay.
Please. Please.
I don't know what's going to happen, because it seems that it's going to be more of an imminent situation, because all of our main characters didn't have that, like, especially with Chani and Paul, they didn't have that, like, reconciliation that they're owed. You know, like, it just ended where her feelings were really hurt because he said he was going to marry Rulan. And, like, and obviously that's something that Chani would be saddened by, but eventually come around. So, like, the fact that they left that so open-ended is kind of, like, they're going to come back, you know? Like, those characters, these actors are going to be in the next one, too. If it's, like,
I'm assuming as of right now, we have not heard any confirmations about...
I would be very disappointed if there wasn't another
about Dune Part 3.
I mean, I'm so glad
about
that...
Dune Messiah Part 1.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, I don't know what's going to happen. It's such a weird story, but I feel like the way that they did it in this movie is so... It's engaging. You're with the Fremen for, like, half the movie, just learning the ropes about what it takes to be a Fremen. And watching Paul go through these trials and falling in love with Chani at the same time. It's just really very nice and soothing. It's so different than, like, the rigors of the first movie, which is why I like it.
Yeah, I think the two movies really complement each other. Mm-hmm. I think that he chose a good spot to make it part one and two. Because, yeah, looking at just part one, it seems like you could put both these halves together. But so much happens in the second half that you can't effectively cover all of that stuff with mashing these two parts together in one film. Mm-hmm. Like, it's ridiculous. And yes, the second movie was 3 hours long, but it didn't feel
it
like
it. It did not feel like it.
It
like,
didn't feel like
I
it.
I said that when we went to go see it. I was like, oh, this is 3 hours long. It really does not feel... Like, I could watch another whole hour of this.
And the first part, I don't know how long the first part was, but it also didn't feel
I think it was 3 hours as well.
As well?
Yeah.
It didn't feel like it. Very...
That's a good movie right there.
Very well
when
done.
When you're not worried about what's going on, you're like, ooh, this is so exciting. I love what's on the screen at every moment.
Yeah, I love the sandworms being in the fight at mm-hmm. the end with the emperor, and I really liked the north and the south, like Fremen and their different viewpoints. Like, we definitely have like a generational
mm-hmm.
like mindset, separate mindsets in regards to Paul being the Messiah. Lisan al-Gaib. Javier Bardem was so funny.
He is hilarious.
As Stilgar, he was amazing. I think in the book, doesn't Stilgar and Jessica, like, get together?
Oh my god, no.
Eventually?
What?
That is... Jessica ends up with someone, I thought.
No.
Or did one of the miniseries or the movie, like have her with someone?
I don't remember that. I'm sorry.
I feel like she gets with one of the Fremen later.
Oh my god. Well, she might have, like, a concubine or something.
Maybe.
She is the high priestess.
Yeah. Yeah. I don't know. But... I really like those two viewpoints, because then we have, like, Chani and the rest of the, like, younger Fremen.
Yeah.
Not
wanting to be guided by a prophet, but yeah. instead guided by the power of the Fremen. But the problem with that is in what Stilgar knows. Because, like, I don't really think he truly believes anything that he's saying. He's doing it so that he can empower the rest of the Fremen so that they can have somebody to fight behind in order to... you know, take back their planet, right?
Yes, because as we, the audience, know, we see that the Bene Gesserit cult,
yeah,
women,
witches
are definitely like they place that prophecy on the planet. They like
decades
they,
before,
yes,
like, decades and decades before.
Like so. they really built up this agenda of theirs mm-hmm. to have things fall into place for their needs, for what they wanted to happen. And being able to kind of see that was really cool too, which I don't feel like we got, if that was even a plot point in the books, I don't know.
It was in the background. It definitely is part of Jessica's story, and definitely the Reverend Mother is like telling her, you know, You've made this Kwisatz Haderach, supposedly, even though we told you not to, with Paul. And it's like they're telling her, but we don't see those scenes in the book. We don't see them very often, and even in the other ones, they're just kind of there in the background and not actually, like, you know, written about or have, like, too much going on. Which is, in this one, it's amazing because Florence Pugh's in it. She's also sort of part of the Bene Gesserit because she's been guided by them.
And we get that new character who goes to...
She's in the book, too.
She is?
Yes, it's Lady Fenrig.
Yeah.
Yeah, she is also in the book.
Oh, Fenrig. Okay. Yeah.
She's only in that one scene, with the fighting in the... on the Gedi Prime. Like,
yeah.
That's it.
Yeah.
So, like, it's like he brought in these other characters and these people that we skimmed over because we were still trying to figure out what was going on in this book when we read it, you know.
Yeah, I just felt so much more enthralled with the story the way that Denny was laying it out for us. Like, he's such a great storyteller.
It's amazing.
He's with these, like, kind of complicated storylines and like these alien species and this new different world and this new, because he did the same thing with Blade Runner. Like, it's like,
yeah.
Blade Runner is a very complicated kind of storyline, but he was able to, you know, make it interesting and still make it kind of easy to follow. Also with Dune. So mm-hmm. it just made it easy for my smooth brain to to follow. And I like that. I don't like feeling stupid when I'm watching.
But he does it in a way that's not like spoon feeding you, I feel like.
Or, that too.
Because, you know, he can be that way. And especially in the first one, we were introduced to these characters for the first time. So, like, Paul will be like, it's because of your Bene Gesserit, like, propaganda that this is happening. He says the same thing in the second one.
He does. He goes, oh, your propaganda's working.
You know, it's like really on the nose, you know? And like sometimes that's yeah. the case with the stuff that they're teaching Paul. Like, he's about to learn how to be a real Fremen, even though he knows a lot of stuff. So they just kind of over-explain things a little bit sometimes because, like, how else are you supposed to know? Where yeah. in the book, there's no explaining.
No. You're really just... You're on your own. You're alone. You're isolated. I don't have Alessandro there to, like, talk about this book with and be like, what the fuck is happening?
Yeah.
Like, it was... I didn't really understand what this story was about until I watched Denny's version.
Yeah.
Because even the miniseries is not very helpful. The movie from the 80s is not helpful. Like...
It's so much clearer now. And honestly, it probably is just really well-done filmmaking and writing, which... Yeah. You know, it makes it more interesting, makes it very exciting. There was some amazing, awesome scenes, like when they're fighting to take down the spice production thing.
Yeah, the trucks, the collection
trucks. Yeah, the collection thing, and they have to, like,
oh my gosh.
Run with those little legs that are on the ground, like, yeah. in the shadow, and not to get shot at by the
And hit, the thopter. And hit them with the bazooka guns.
Yes! And oh my gosh. That, like, shot where Chani, like, hits it and runs towards Paul and like laughs, and then it's like quiet, and then the like thopter ran like hits the ground in yeah. a fiery blaze.
Yeah, yeah,
it is an yeah. amazing shot. Yeah. It is so much fun to watch, and the sound is just like really exhilarating.
Mm-hmm.
It's exactly what you want to happen in these kind of movies, and obviously the fight at the end is also really exhilarating with all of like the worms just descending on the city.
I was so excited to see all those worms. I love those. Are my favorite parts of all the movies was
when he rides the fucking worm.
The worms, the grandfather worm.
Yes, the biggest one,
extra large grandfather worm.
What we were talking about when we were leaving it was, like, it's amazing that they set this prophecy in motion and all the things are happening because that's what was foretold. But it's, like, there may not be any magic involved at all. It may just be all circumstance. And the fact that they primed, like, Jessica has prepared her son for everything that has led him to this point. And same with Jessica, like... They know that that's what they were supposed to do, and that was the role that they were supposed to play. So it just so happens that all this is within the prophecy. Like him riding the giant, the biggest worm, and like it just all is falling into place so much that it's hard to like, it's always riding that line of is he really it or is he not? Is he yeah. a false prophet?
Yeah.
So, and I, like they talk about that in the miniseries especially, like his kind of struggle with being the Kwisatz Haderach or whatever, and like the Lisan al Gaib, like truly actually being that and what it really means.
Yeah.
And how he has to make the hard decisions.
And how he'll affect people.
Yeah.
How he'll affect these people's lives. Because yes, he is trying to get, you know, revenge for his father and, you know, get bad people off of the throne, like the Emperor, who are, you know, dictators who just want to control everything, and they kill people. Family. Yeah, they kill his family, and they yeah. probably kill other innocents. Who knows? And so it's like he also has this agenda, but he also wants to accomplish that without negatively affecting these innocent people on Arrakis.
And it was a point of this Denis one that's very looking towards the future to have him mention the like billions of people dead situation. Like, because of him.
Mm-hmm.
And that was also mentioned in the first one, which I didn't remember until we rewatched it, when he's in the tent with his mom and he's like overwhelmed with the spice and he's like, the people are screaming my name and then they're all dying
yeah,
around yeah. me and dying for me. And then there's like, that is really like why he doesn't want to continue with his destiny in this movie, because he doesn't want that to happen.
Yeah.
And it seems like it's going to happen because yeah. it's like he is going forward with this destiny. He's forced into it. Because
at that time he hasn't drunk the life water.
He doesn't actually know.
He's just getting things in pieces.
Mm-hmm.
He can't quite understand these visions that are being sent to him.
Yeah. And then he has to do it.
And then he's kind of just
which
like,
is
well.
One of my favorite scenes is when he's struggling with that and he asks Jamis what to do. And eventually Jamis is like, you should do it. And then, you know, Chani comes up to him. He's like crying because he knows he has to do this really hard thing. And like has to accept his destiny and his fate. And like, it's just the sweetest, like she loves him so much. He, you know, he's like crying and he kisses her and a tear rolls down his face when he kisses her. I just love those moments, but it's like so sad because you know that they're just like doomed.
yes, they are. I mean, and again, the relationship between Paul and Chani and all the other adaptations are just like,
it's straightforward.
It's,
she's like obsessed with him.
It's straightforward. It's just
she
like,
doesn't
not,
have a, she doesn't have a character.
Yeah. She usually has no character. There's no chemistry there. She's just a,
she's just by his
she's
side.
She's just a pawn. Like she's just a woman uh-huh. by his side.
Yeah.
Like this, the relationship in this version, in Denny's version, is so much more sweet and caring. And, you know, even though we know what happens to Chani, she really gets the shitty end of the stick.
Mm. But she does stay with him. Like, she has children with him.
Yeah.
And more kids with him in the future. But, like...
Yeah.
Like, it's much more fleshed out. And, obviously, Zendaya fucking kills it. She's amazing. Yeah. She's, like, up there with Flo now as, like, one of my favorite actresses at this point. Like...
She's so good.
She's amazing. Everything she does is, like, I mean, exceptional. Like, I said, that's how I feel about Flo.
Yeah.
Like, truly, like... It's a very good, we got a good crop of young, great actors in this movie, you know, including Austin Butler, you know?
Yep, yep.
Wow, what a great performance, too.
And Anya.
Anya barely in it, which, oh my God, what a jump scare. I like grabbed Danny's arm when she came on the screen. I was like screaming. I'm like, of course Anya's in this. She's part of this, like, you know,
she
young
looks,
millennial
she looks
group.
Like a, she looks like a weird little alien girl. Oh. So, of course, she's going to be the sister, the creepy sister.
I love it. I love it. Like, that
oh
is just
gosh.
So great. Like, all these actors are in all the same stuff right now. They're the young, hot bunch.
They're like the Avengers of the actor world.
Dude.
They're just together doing great things.
They're the Brat Pack, you know?
The Brat Pack.
It's like we got Austin, we got Timmy, Flo, Zendaya, Tom Holland.
Anya.
Am I missing anybody?
Maybe.
I mean, those are like the main ones right now.
Yeah, right now.
Because they're all like kind of the same age.
Yeah.
So like...
Yeah. Pretty much.
Yeah.
Wow.
I know there's more, like, obviously there's the peripheral, like, actors from Euphoria and stuff, but they're just not as, they're not on those levels as, like,
They're starting to make their way
they're getting
outside
there.
Of Euphoria, but, I mean, Zendaya kind of was...
She
was kind of already having a name for herself outside of Euphoria when
Yeah, and doing a lot of
started.
Movies and stuff.
Yeah.
You know. They're trying to get more of these actors in the same stuff, obviously, so...
Yeah.
That's good, but
yeah,
it's very exciting. we're just gonna keep growing with them because they're all the same age as us. So everything that they're gonna be in is all the stuff we're gonna watch for the rest of our lives.
Oh my gosh, you're right. Wow.
Mm-hmm.
That's crazy to think about.
I know. Yeah.
I really liked the Harkonnen planet where everything looked like white.
Black Sun.
Yeah, the Black Sun.
Awesome. Awesome.
So crazy. Such a freaky planet. I want to know more about.
And also, there were some shots of going from the inside, the interior, into the exterior with the Black Sun.
Yeah.
So it was like into this kind of monochromatic, like, infrared kind of thing going on.
Yeah.
And like
such a pretty movie.
Yeah, it's beautiful.
This movie was
the water of life, like bright blue.
I don't even know if I blinked. Like it just was like I like my eyes were just open.
None of us went to the bathroom. We all just, I mean,
no, yeah, no.
It was all perfect.
It was good.
Yeah,
it was. We did miss the first like minute or so.
Yeah. So what you missed was just
What did we miss?
Like the sun coming up and
okay,
Paul waking up. Like on the sand.
Okay.
You know, because she jokes that he was sleeping.
Oh.
But they're listening as the Harkonnens come over the dune. And then they left Jamis's body there so that the Harkonnens see Jamis's body. And everybody had, well, Stilgar told Jessica and Paul to stay there, which was a bad idea because they would have been killed.
Yeah.
So they run to the little, like, the hill.
Yeah.
And go in there and like, hide.
Yeah.
And that's it. That's all you missed.
Okay. Wow. That was still seems like a bit.
Well, you know, it was kind of a tense, like, spot because the Harkonnens are coming in on them. And it takes place literally right at the end of the first movie.
Yeah. Yeah. As they're still traveling back to the siege.
Mm-hmm. Which is another point of discrepancy between the book. Because they do blow up the siege in the book.
Mm-hmm.
I do remember that. But we also have Chani and Paul's child that is murdered.
Yes.
In there as well.
Yes.
And that is in, they don't have a child in this one.
Correct. They do not. We are theorizing that Chani is pregnant by the end of this movie.
It's possible.
But nothing was hinted at. But,
no, it wasn't. I mean, but I feel like Paul would know if she was pregnant because he knows everything now.
True.
Like, and they know. Because they're Bene Gesserit. And he's Bene Gesserit. And he's a Harkonnen. And he's an Atreides.
Oh my god, he's so many things.
So you forgot that Paul was a Harkonnen.
Yes.
Yes. You forgot that Jessica was the daughter of the Baron.
Yes.
Yeah.
The granddaughter.
Yeah.
The daughter?
No, he's the daughter.
Daughter.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, I forgot most things about the book.
Absolutely. That was a good twist, though, in this movie.
It was.
It's yeah, he does find that out when he drinks the water of life. That's what happens. I mean, it follows it very, very closely.
Yeah, yeah.
But Aaliyah is the one who actually murders the Baron in the end.
Right.
She, like, her little four-year-old self, like, does some kind of kickflip and, like, stabs him.
Yeah.
That's, like, what happens.
Yeah.
It's hilarious because, like, in the 1984 version, which I think I brought up in the last podcast, she goes up and she goes, "Hello, grandfather."
Yeah, and then she kills him.
And then she kills him. It's fucking crazy. Yes.
Oh my gosh.
Aaliyah's freaking nuts. I'm so glad that they didn't, like, have her in this, because, again, it would have been really hokey.
Yeah. It was a bit more of a... I feel like Christopher Walken was a bit more of a jump scare in this movie
for me. People don't like that he's in this movie.
I mean, he's fine.
I think he's totally fine.
He's fine.
He acts completely okay.
Yeah, he's fine.
Him and his, like, little dress outfit that he has on.
Yeah, his little like, old man muumuu.
Yeah, mm-hmm.
His little old man emperor muumuu.
Emperor muumuu, yeah.
Yeah.
But he has... I think his acting's great. He's very scared about the consequences of his actions. Like,
sure.
He's confident when he needs to be, you know, he's confident in his daughter. He lets her, like, speak her mind to him about how she feels about this whole situation.
Yeah.
It's like their planet was really pretty. They kind of live in, like, a Japanese garden.
Yeah, live in, like, a Japanese temple.
Yeah. That's cool.
Oh man,
I just love this series. It's just, it's so, I just think it's so interesting. It's, like, really fun to see what they do.
Yeah. Denny's got some loyal fans right here. I want to watch everything of his.
He's like an amazing director.
I'm definitely loving sci-fi a lot more because of him. Like, yeah. I mean, I already love sci-fi, obviously, because, you know, we love Star Trek and Star Wars and stuff. But, like, now being able to feel comfortable and confident branching out into some other stories. Because of Denny, of Denny's amazing directing. It's great. It's great. What a time to be alive.
I know. It's so awesome. So do we want to take a break and then look at some of the trivia?
Yes.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Okay, we are back. Let's check this out.
Look at some trivia! I also really liked Rebecca Ferguson, Jessica. Mm-hmm. She was really acting crazy.
Yeah, she was.
Like, she was like...
talking to herself.
She's talking to me. Like, the baby, like, it's Anya wild. Was, like, talking to her, and she's like, the baby's talking to me. And I was like, oh my, Jessica, are you good, girl?
Ain't good.
She's not good.
She has all of the, like...
She is hocked up past, on that life water.
Yeah, the past traumas are... She like, is intense. Oh she's my so God. Intense. And very different than the first movie, where she's, like, crying a lot, because she's very into... You know, she's very worried about Paul, like... She spends a lot of time...
As she should. She's, like, desperately trying to get him back on the path of the prophecy, because, like, she knows that that's what's gonna help them all. Gonna save them. And Paul's just like, nah, I don't wanna.
Well, he goes...
And she's like, fucking goddamn it, Paul!
He does something really cool, and then, like, you know, he's like, it's not me, I'm not the Lizana guy. And then, like, Stilgar goes all to his, like, followers, and he's like, oh my God, he's so humble. Like, Lizan Algarvi, he's such a humble guy. Like, it's even more reason why he is the guy, you know?
So you think Stilgar was, like, playing it up?
He's absolutely playing it up.
Okay, that and definitely makes more sense to, like, how he was acting in the movie.
And seeing it again, like, I know that he believes that Paul is a really important person, and that's why he does this, and he really sticks his neck out for them. But, like, he's also playing it up. Like, he's making it so that they are, like, his legacy continues, and that's what will rise up, what the Fremen will, like, do.
Yeah.
You know?
We were repeating the Lizan El Gaib when was it? Was it right after he kills Fade?
Yeah. He, like, there's an amazing shot where as soon as Fade... Like, as soon as his body hits the ground, it's a shot of Stilgar going, Lizan El-Gaib! Like, so, so fast that it's, like hilarious.
So fast, so loud, and out of, like, just out of complete silence.
Yeah.
Because, like, Fade had just dropped to the floor.
It's great
and
editing.
He's just like, Lizan El-Gaib!
It's so funny. I mean, it breaks the tension really, really well. And it's just, it's...
And we just laughed.
Oh, my God, it was so funny.
So funny.
Yeah. He's hilarious.
All right.
Yeah, so this is definitely one of the things that I've noticed. Denise says that he doesn't have any deleted scenes. That it's everything is done. It is the way it's supposed to be, and it just cannot. He says it's all dead, and he can't reanimate what he's killed, and it's painful.
Oh my gosh.
Oh.
I'm a strong believer that when it's not in the movie, it's dead.
Yeah.
Oh my gosh.
I mean, honestly, I feel that as well, because when you see extra things, it changes the way you think about the movie, and that's not how it should be. Like, it should be what it is. That's it in complete, you know?
Yeah.
In its entirety.
Yeah. I mean, especially for someone like Denny, who I'm sure does not make it, because I'm not going to say every deleted scene needs to be in a movie. I mean, there are definitely instances where it's like, there's unnecessary.
Slowed down the movie.
There are scenes that still make it to the movie, to where I was like, why the fuck are you even in this movie right now? But it's like for a director to have to remove things that, like, they chose to film this.
It got to that point where filmed it.
Yeah, it got to the point where they fully developed it and was like, we can't. We can't keep it, like, it's devastating, probably, because, I mean, who knows what effect it brought to the movie, what extra little tidbit of information or feeling or character development or plot forwarding that, like, we didn't get now, because it's gone.
That's some excellent musing right there, Emily.
I try.
Yeah.
I'm feeling very inspired today.
very inspired. Lady Jessica's facial tattoos are the Bene Gesserit litany against fear.
like the thing that she says, mm-hmm. like
Fear is the Mind Killer.
Yeah, Fear is the Mind Killer.
Yeah,
from the book.
Yeah, that is in there.
I remember that.
Something else that was not in this and people were noticing was this film scenes with Thurfer Hawat and Count Hasimir Fenring. They're entirely cut out, actually, but they do receive a special thanks.
Wow. Oh.
Because he is in the second part as well. But
yeah, the guy that had like the white eyes.
Yes, Thurfer Hawat. Yeah.
Was like to Duke Leto. He was like his guard or security detail or something.
He could like see. I don't know what he does.
Yeah.
But he's not in it, and neither is.
He wasn't in the second half.
The fact that Liet Kynes is the parent of Chani. That is not how it is in the movie, which is in the book, Chani like lost her father as soon as she meets Paul. It's like very, very soon afterwards that her father is dead.
Mm-hmm.
And like, that is not the way that it went in the movie.
Correct. Yeah. Yeah. It's kind of interesting. Austin Butler underwent vocal training to sound more like Stellan Skarsgård. Well, it paid off. He definitely sounded like him.
He did.
A lot. It was crazy.
I love that. He said that Austin Butler was offered the role while having coffee with Denis Villeneuve without needing to audition. He trained for 4 months in Budapest using a fitness regimen made by an ex-Navy SEAL member.
Wow.
That makes sense. That fight scene between him and Paul is fucking awesome.
Yeah.
Like, the hand-to-hand combat is so... Oh, their fight coordinators...
So good.
Snaps.
So good. So good. I like this one because it's describing Fade. Denis described Fade Rautha Harkonnen, Austin Butler's character, as a cross between a psychopathic killer, an Olympic sword master, a snake, and Mick Jagger.
Oh my god, just like Hodorowski. Oh, that's part of it. That's part of that. Hodorowski really wanted Mick Jagger to be in it. That was what it is. Yeah.
Oh, and Hodorowski's failed Dune adaptation in the 70s.
We love that Hodorowski's Dune. I mean, honestly, everybody go watch that.
Hodorowski's cut. Give us Hodorowski's
that
cut.
That guy is still kicking, as I said. I actually want to know how old he is.
He's alive?
Yes, he's alive. He's like really, really old. I'm going to look up.
Oh my god. I want to meet this man.
Oh my god. He probably lives in Chile.
Oh my god, he probably does. I gotta go to Chile then.
He is Chilean and French. He's 95 years old.
What?
Yeah.
That man.
I know!
That 95-year-old Chilean man.
I love him.
Austin Butler improvised Fade Rautha kissing Baron Harkonnen.
Yes! I love that. That was such a nod to Baron Harkonnen's like total crazy sodomite. Like, it was disgusting, but I'm glad it was part of
ichness.
It. Yeah. And also Austin Butler like being so excited about like death and blood, and like even his uncle dying, he like smiles. It's so creepy.
He's
such
a psycho.
Such a psychopath.
Oh my gosh. He said he toned down his method acting for playing a Fade.
Yeah, well, because he was an Elvis and that was fucking crazy.
Oh, yeah, that's true. He needed to need a little bit of a break.
Yeah, I mean, I think he filmed this after Elvis, so, I mean, obviously. But, like, he was really good. I mean, that really took a lot out of him, that Elvis role.
Actor musician Sting, who appeared in Dune 1984, turned down a cameo appearance in this film.
He did go to the premiere, though.
Aww.
Bill Skarsgård and Barry Keoghan were considered for the role of Fade. Wow. They would have been good, too.
I think, they would have.
Both of them would have been really good. I'm really glad Austin Butler was in it, though.
He was so good. Yeah. Austin did such a great job.
And we did have to wait for this because of the writer's strike.
Yes, very true.
So, there is a lot.
AMC's website crashed when tickets for this film went on sale?
I love that.
What?
Oh, they ran out of seats trying to screen this film.
Oh my gosh.
That is crazy. I love it.
Wow.
Austin Butler says he was inspired by Gary Oldman and Heath Ledger.
Mm.
Very nice. And of course, from The Fifth Element. Love that. Oh, she doesn't even have a name in the movie, Irulan. She never even referred to it as her Irulan. And never is Aaliyah. She doesn't even have a name in it. No one says the words Irulan. The only reason we know it's her is because she's in the book.
Right.
And she does the little, like, you know, journal entries about.
Yeah, at the beginning of every chapter.
Yeah.
Interesting.
I'm really glad she was in it, though. Yeah, there is a lot of information in here. There's
lots of trivia. Wow.
Oh my god.
Well, Christopher Walken filmed his scenes in 2 weeks.
Yeah, he wasn't in it too much.
No, he wasn't. He was just in a handful of scenes.
Mm-hmm.
Definitely could have. They just needed his moo-moo. And then
making Christopher Walken, like, get down on his knees, I was, like, literally thinking about that poor man's knees, like, when he had to kiss the ring.
Oh, yeah.
I was like, he's sitting on some really nice pad right now. Those knees are on some comfortable... Or they raised...
Comfortable, like, crash pads.
Or they raised Timmy up so that he didn't have to go on his knees.
Yeah, maybe.
Once again, Timmy's performance is fantastic. I love him, as we all know.
Yes, he did a fantastic job playing... Feliz Nagib!
Ugh, I love him.
So good. So good, Timmy. Such a talented man. Alright, there's a shit ton of trivia. If you guys want to look at some more, definitely go take a look.
Let's read some plot keywords.
Let's look at these plot keywords! Down here we've got Desert Planet, second part, Dune, Desert, Exploration.
Ooh.
Yeah.
Exploration, that's kind of interesting. I don't know if that one really goes in it.
I mean, yeah, they're kind of like we get to look at some different planets, but like they don't really.
It's only PG-13. That's kind of interesting. I didn't really realize that.
Well, no one really swears.
No, they don't. And there's not excessive violence either.
No, not really.
No.
Just a little creepy sometimes.
Yeah, that's good.
You know, with these characters, and that's fine.
Okay. This movie got a 79 Metascore. We gotta click on 10 different things to get to the actual...
We gotta click on 11 different things.
Information. Okay, it got 54 positive reviews, 7 mixed, and 1 negative review.
How
many 100s are we gonna count?
Oh shit, alright. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5.
That's 5 100s, okay.
That's it. Wow, 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 wow.
Wow, wowie.
Let's scroll down to the bottom.
Boston Odie again! My god, Odie!
Boston Globe hated it!
Why don't you like anything, Odie?
Odie, what movie do you like? Oh, didn't we check? Didn't we look at his stuff?
Oh, yeah. He likes, you know, he likes what he likes, for sure. But it's like, he doesn't give too many things high ratings.
No, he doesn't. All right, let's see what Odie had to say. Gave it a 38. Just as in the first film, also I hated the first film too, I was put off by the white savior narrative. I mean, sure.
That's part of it.
That's the point. Sure. Stilgar's fervent belief quickly becomes grating.
What?
And the Hans Zimmer score that sounds as if Arrakis were in the Middle East rather than space. Odie.
That is exactly what it's supposed to be.
Odie. Let's just speak right now, heart to heart. You didn't understand this movie.
The point is a spaceship, and he's on the planet, and it's just flying by him.
Yeah. Yeah.
Sorry, Odie.
This spaceship just went right over your head, man.
Okay. Let's just pick a medium one here. BBC?
Like that one?
Yeah, this one's fine.
Okay.
60 from BBC, parts of Dune 2 seem just as monumental, lavishly bizarre, and downright disturbing as anything that Hodorowski and Geiger could have had in mind.
I love how people bring up Hodorowski.
He is a part of this journey to where we got today.
He is a director of Dune.
Yeah, he is. Like,
he is an unofficial director of Dune.
He absolutely is, yes.
And
every adaptation is because of his genius.
Oh, man.
That guy is fucking crazy, but I love him. I love Hodorowski.
I love him so much. I want to rewatch that documentary so bad.
You should show Casey. I think Casey would love it.
Oh my God.
I mean, we could put it on after this.
Oh, it is so good.
So funny.
Oh, it was amazing. Yeah, we should.
Yeah, we should.
We're definitely doing that. Yeah. All right. Do you want to do one of the greens, possibly?
Maybe the slate one. I can read it. 70 Slate, to his great credit, Villeneuve has followed through on the task he set for himself in Dune's moody, enigmatic, and expansive first chapter. He now returns to the worlds he so painstakingly established, ready to orchestrate the grand-scale conflicts that are about to tear it apart.
Oh, what a good
one there.
Yeah. Very good. Okay, let's do one of these 100s up here. Oh my goodness.
In my opinion, this movie is a 100. I don't give them often out to movies, I think.
I think 79's a little low. I would have given this, like, at least an 88.
Yeah. My personal preference is this movie is perfect. There's nothing wrong with it. It's just, like, one of those things that is just, like, if you don't like sci-fi, you don't like sci-fi. But in my personal opinion, this movie is absolutely perfect.
It is. It is.
Ugh. It uprocks agrees with me, saying it's one of the best science fiction movies I've ever seen.
Wow. That is an amazing thing to say. Let's see. I'm going to do The Independent then, because it's the longest. Part 2 is as grand as it is intimate. And while Hans Zimmer's score once again blasts your eardrums into submission, and the theater seats rumble with every cresting sandworm, it's the choice moments of silence that really leave their mark.
That is a hilarious
thank you, Clarice.
Review. That is so funny.
The cresting
sandworm. That reviewer is using the
oh my God.
Using Google a little too much.
I love the sandworms.
I know, yeah.
I just
they're
love...
They're so cool.
I just love a, like, a big, freaky-looking monster.
Oh, yeah.
And these sandworms are the...
They're in it a lot.
They're in it so much.
So much more than the first movie.
I loved it.
They're big old mouths.
They're big old toothy mouths.
And we even got a baby one in this
And
one.
We got a baby! Oh, my God. I got some blue juice out of it.
The baby one is so cute.
It was perfect. Oh my goodness.
Yeah, this movie's really fun.
Wow. If you haven't seen Dune 2, definitely go check it out.
Yep. Yeah, that's all I have to say about it.
That's
let's go watch Hodorowski's Dune.
Favorite movie of 2023 so far?
Oh, already? Absolutely. All yeah, right. I know it's coming in hot, but, like, there's nothing else that I wanted to see more this year for sure.
That's very true. Definitely, yeah. This movie was pretty hyped.
Yeah.
We were very excited to watch this. All right, that's all we have to say about Dune Part 2. Sorry, this episode isn't... How long was our first part?
Oh, it was like 2.5 hours long. Go listen to that because it is a great episode. We really get into it.
We talk about literally everything.
So many characters. So much going on in that first episode.
Oh, man. Definitely go check it out.
So much fawning over Oscar Isaac.
Oh my gosh, don't even talk about him right now. We don't have time. That's gonna make this 2 hours. Just me gushing over Oscar Isaac. Okay. That's it for Dune 2. We love the movie. Go check it out. If you enjoyed this episode, please rate and review us on Apple Podcasts and IMDb. We are also on Amazon Music, Spotify, and Acast. If you want to email us, please do that at allbythepopcornpodcast@gmail.com. You could also follow our social media. We have Instagram, Facebook, TikTok, and YouTube. Just search All By The Popcorn or All By The Popcorn Podcast. And we have merch, so please check that out. Thank you so much for listening, and we'll talk to you in the next one. Goodbye.
Bye.
Mom. Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.